A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the holy ones and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the capstone. Through him, the whole structure is held together and grows into a temple sacred in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed."
Verbum Domini.
On this feast of St. Thomas the Apostle, we look particularly at St. John's Gospel to see what we can learn from our saint's example in life. We first hear St. Thomas speak up when the Lord decided to go to Bethany to raise Lazarus from the dead. And traveling there, they would get very close to Jerusalem, where the Jews had just been seeking to take the Lord's life. This is when Thomas spoke up, saying, "Let us also go that we may die with him." So we see in Thomas a total readiness to follow and stand by the Lord, even to the point of laying down his life, showing great courage and devotion. He did not want to be separated from the Lord at any cost. Our faith should strengthen our resolve to always remain united to the Lord. We want to have that same enthusiasm, zeal, and ardent love that Thomas had for the Lord. We next hear St. Thomas at the Last Supper when the Lord announced that he was going to prepare a place for his disciples. Jesus told them, "Where I am going, you know the way." But Thomas replied, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And it was because Thomas asked this question, because he had the courage to admit he didn't understand, that the Lord revealed that he was the way, the truth, and the life. So we have Thomas to thank for that, the Lord inspiring him to ask that question. But Benedict XVI said that Thomas's question gives us the right, so to speak, to ask Jesus for explanations. We often do not understand him. Let us be brave enough to say, "I do not understand you. Lord, help me to understand." That's a good prayer. Thomas sought to understand, and he wasn't afraid to let the Lord know that he needed some clarification. That shows humility. It also shows his desire to understand, his desire to know the truth. We shouldn't hesitate to ask the Lord questions, to ask him to help us understand when we're struggling to comprehend what he is doing in our lives, especially if it's during a very difficult trial. And thirdly, we hear in the gospel today about Thomas's struggle with doubt regarding the news of the Lord's resurrection. He was not with the others when the Lord first appeared to them after his resurrection. But as St. Gregory the Great would say, it was not by accident that this chosen disciple was missing, but by God's will. It was in God's providence that Thomas, for whatever reason, was not there that first time. So reminded that even in things that seem completely coincidental, such as missing a meeting or you don't catch a flight, God's providence can be very active in that. If we don't know in this life, we will find out in the next life why certain things happened that did not go according to plan, or the way that we thought they should happen. So we know that from the gospel, when the other apostles told Thomas, because he had missed that meeting when the Lord came, that he replied that he would not believe unless he saw the nail marks and put his finger into the marks and he put his hand into the side, the pierced side of the risen Lord. Then we know that Thomas was humbled a week later when Jesus appeared again to the apostles and he directly addressed Thomas, who was with them this time. "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing." So our Lord is also showing here that he knew what was going. He knew what Thomas said in his physical absence, when the Lord was not physically present there. He is God. He knew what was going on in Thomas's heart. He knew about his struggle with faith. The Lord knows all things, including our hearts. One question that one may have is, why were there still wounds in the Lord's risen and glorified body? He was risen. He certainly could have healed those wounds, but he desired to keep them for our benefit. So we see here that those wounds would help heal Thomas's initial doubt. It also proved that it was the same body that suffered and was crucified and was killed for our salvation, but now in the glorified state. St. Augustine would add, "Christ could have removed all the traces of wounds from his risen and glorified body, but he had reasons for retaining them. First, to show them to Thomas, who would not believe unless he touched and saw. Again, he will use them to rebuke unbelievers and sinners at the judgment. He will not say to them as he did to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed," but rather to convict them. "Behold the man you have crucified, the wounds you have inflicted. Look at the side you have pierced. It was opened for your sake, and you refused to enter." So we know again that Thomas was humbled in today's gospel in the Lord's presence, and he responds with a profession of faith, "My Lord and my God." Just five short words, but they contain a very strong expression of reverence, of faith, and devotion, which were now burning in Thomas's heart, which had just been renewed by God's grace. "My Lord and my God." Just reminded as well that what makes a prayer pleasing to God is not the length of the prayer, it's the devotion, what's going on interiorly in our hearts as we are praying, the disposition of one's heart. These words were simple, and yet we can imagine the fervor and sincerity with which Thomas addressed them to the Lord. "My Lord and my God." And what an appropriate prayer as well, that can also arise interiorly from our hearts during the elevation of the Blessed Sacrament during Mass, or when we come before our Lord's Eucharistic presence in adoration. "My Lord and my God." We also see the personal aspect of this for Thomas. He did not say, when the Lord revealed and when he saw the risen Lord, and the Lord said, "See the marks, put your finger here, put your hand on my side," Thomas did not respond, "You are God and Lord." He said, "My Lord and my God." It was very personal for him. So one commentator adds these words as if Thomas were saying, "Although Jesus is the Lord and God of all, yet he is properly mine, because he himself sought me like a lost sheep as a good shepherd. Wherefore, in return, I love and venerate him with the inmost marrow of my soul as my unique God and Lord. You, therefore, O Jesus, are for me God and Lord, because by these your wounds, which I have now touched and known most truly, you have merited and obtained for me this faith by which I believe that you have truly risen." And we see this in the lives of many of the saints. St. Francis immediately comes to mind too. Right? One of his favorite prayers was, "My Lord and my God," or he'd say, "My God and my all." Right? It's very personal. St. Gregory the Great would say that Thomas's struggle with disbelief has done more for us than the faith of the other apostles. As he touches Christ and is won over to belief, every doubt is cast aside, and our faith is strengthened. So the disciple who doubted and then felt Christ's wounds becomes a witness to the reality of the resurrection. Again, we see God's providence here, that sometimes he permits struggles in others' lives, like particularly the apostle here, but it's for our benefit. Right? How often do we benefit from the weaknesses of the apostles in the gospel? Right? How many lessons do we learn because of that? Right? Or St. Paul, all the saints, right? We learn from them, and even the sufferings that they endured. It's for our benefit, for our consolation. Again, this was for our benefit. Thomas was prepared by this trial of faith to boldly proclaim the resurrection of Christ throughout the world. And his testimony would be particularly important, as he could share with others that he himself struggled. And yet in his struggle, the Lord proved to him his divinity. He appeared to him. Because of Thomas's experience, we also benefit again, because our Lord's words to him, "Because you have seen me, Thomas, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." So the merit of faith and its reward in heaven is not dependent on miraculous evidence, but in submitting our understanding to divine revelation, the revealed word of God, what God has revealed to us. St. Thomas would go on to preach the gospel in Syria, in Persia, and in India, and lay down his life for Christ in martyrdom. And summing up the impact of St. Thomas on our spiritual lives, Pope Benedict XVI would say in a general audience in 2006 that the Apostle Thomas's case is important to us. First, because it comforts us in our insecurity. Second, because it shows us that every doubt can lead to an outcome brighter than any uncertainty. And lastly, because the words of Jesus addressed to him remind us of the true meaning of mature faith and encourage us to persevere, despite the difficulty, along our journey of adhesion to him. So we ask the intercession of St. Thomas the Apostle today that like him, we may grow in our desire to never be separated from our Lord, to never be hesitant to ask the Lord to help us understand or for any needed clarification, and that in times where there may be a temptation to doubt, that we may be strengthened in our faith. We beg the Lord for the grace of a continual increase of faith. Lord, increase our faith.